Okay, good morning everybody, and so lovely to see everybody.
Morning.
Yeah. So as Rose said, I'm going to talk about Jesus and his immediate earthly family. And to get us into the swing of things, I just did a bit of research on two well-known families that you probably have heard about, these people. The first one is Isaac Newton. He was born on Christmas Day in 1642 in Lincolnshire, England. He was born 3 months after the death of his father, who was named Isaac Newton. He was born preemie, and his mother, whose name was Hannah Askow, said she could fit him inside a quart mug. When Newton was 3, his mother married Reverend Barnabas Smith, and she left Newton in the care of her mother, Marjorie Ascough, which I thought was a bit weird, but anyway. When he grew up, he had this great dislike for the Reverend and also his mother. And we learn about this because he recorded before he was 19 his sins that he had committed. And one of the sins that he wrote down was, "I threatened my mother and father Smith to burn them and the house over them." Newton's mother had 3 children with the Reverend Smith, and Newton never married, although it is claimed that he was once engaged. Interesting, never knew that. This is just to get you into the feel of, you know, family life is not all roses as we think it should be. What about Genaldi? Now, Genaldi was asked, well, he was given this comment, "You are the father of invention." And he says, "Oh, I'm the father of invention, am I? Well, my daughter, Mona, is a famous writer, and my biological son is the chief executive of Apple." The reason Steve was given up for adoption was because my girlfriend's father was extremely conservative and wouldn't let her marry me. Didn't know that. When I was asked to do this talk on people who had encounters with Jesus, I thought a bit of all the possible characters that I could research and what I would find interesting, and also the class. And when I considered my life and the life of others, I just couldn't get past the influence of my own family on my life. So I thought, what about the influence of the family on Jesus' life? Surely his family life had a great impact on him. And because I hardly know anything about his family, I thought it would be interesting to look into this. And I just hoped that there was some information out there that I could glean, but I wasn't left wanting. Actually, this could be a whole study weekend. To begin, let's spend a few minutes looking at those 3 New Testament Bible verses that reveal Jesus' life before his crucifixion. Now, I'm going to give you a piece of paper here. You can jot down things if you like. And I've got people to read out these verses, so I'll just hand these out. Thank you, Rose. Yeah, so we have 3 accounts, actually 4 accounts, before the resurrection of Jesus about the brothers and sisters and mother of Jesus. The first reading I'd like to look at is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. And I have Sue, who has prepared this reading. Thank you, Sue.
Reading from the King James Version, chapter 6. "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But said unto them, A prophet is not without honour, but in his own country, and as among his own kin and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marvelled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching.
Thank you, Sue. Okay, so that's an account there of Jesus' family. It's a parallel one in Matthew chapter 13 verses 53 to 58. The only change is that it says, where it says, isn't he the carpenter? Meaning Jesus, isn't Jesus the carpenter? It says, isn't he the carpenter's son? In Matthew, which I didn't realise. That they called Jesus a carpenter. Number two, the second reading, Mark 3 verse 20. We have Sue who's going to do that.
And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself.
Mm-hmm. So they were seeing that they thought that Jesus was out of his mind. And the third reading there, we have from John chapter 7, verse 4. And Sheila's 4 to 5. Sheila's prepared that for us.
No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. If you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers do not believe in him.
Thank you. So, what are your thoughts on Jesus' family, just briefly?
Fairly average.
Average, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it must have been quite hard for Mary bringing these people up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder how she spoke about Jesus to them.
That's the point.
It's just seeing his own brother didn't believe him.
Yeah,
and
it is.
One does later on.
They had to be educated.
Yeah, and how do we get educated? It's really experience, isn't it? And time and experience.
I mean, the elder brother, wasn't he? And different.
Jesus was the elder brother.
And different to the rest of the siblings. I wonder, did any of them ever think, who made you a ruler over us?
Could have been Jesus that.
Family. Like Jesus' family.
Yeah.
His own reaction.
Mm. I mean, he was
the younger.
Whereas Jesus was the older. But also, they've got the rumours that, you know, he's illegitimate, you know.
Mm.
They have that in one ear, and then you've got what Mary's saying, no,
right.
So, you know, and having this, I think, kind of good two shoes kind of thing. And you know, these kids are getting mixed messages.
That's right, yeah.
They're getting mixed messages in either ear, so. And siblings
are siblings, aren't they?
That's right.
Well, Mary was there to try and sort it all out. You think of Mary trying to fix everybody in the family.
Okay.
And Joseph not having that much influence.
And Joseph is sort of not there in those readings, is he?
With just a culprit there. Yeah.
I think he might have been older.
We'll get on to Joseph in a little while.
Sorry,
that's all right. How about we now look at what happened to the attitude of the brothers after the resurrection of Jesus. Okay, so we've got a reading there, the fourth reading, Acts 1 verse 14. Annette, would you like to read that? This is at Pentecost. Okay, so Pentecost was with the Holy Spirit coming and they're all together.
They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with her brothers.
Her brothers?
His brothers.
His brothers. Mm-hmm. So the brothers and Mary
and
the women are all there at Pentecost. What about the next reading? 1 Corinthians 9 verse 5, please. Annette.
Well, that means that Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas, or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living?
Thank you. So Paul and Barnabas. Paul is complaining, can't we have benefits too, like the others, like Jesus' brothers when they're on missionary work? So we have these two different accounts of the brothers when they were growing up and after the resurrection. We see the brothers after the resurrection as joining in with prayer, fellowship and preaching about Jesus. Now they would have been really humbled by the experience of and extremely grateful for the privilege of having to be the eyewitness to the resurrection, and would have had to have eat their words, I would say. I find this thought-provoking, this change of ideas. But they're not the only ones that change their ideas about Jesus. Who else changed their ideas about Jesus? Just
Saul
quickly.
Paul.
Saul Paul, yeah. There was the apostles, they left, didn't they? They changed their minds at the crucial moment. There was Peter who denied change.
Peter did.
He was.
Because in the beginning, in the beginning he was against Jesus, but I think there was a point where he couldn't really prove. That's why it was easy just to wash his hands and say.
Let us have a close look at the brothers of Jesus. What do we know about the brothers? Now there's James, there's Josie, also known as Joseph in Matthew. There's Simon and Judas, the sisters as well. Let's look at Judas. Okay, we're going to look at Judas. Now there are Judases in the Bible around Jesus' time. There's actually two in the group of apostles. We can see that in Luke, Acts, Matthew and Mark. There's two apostles called Judas. That is the son of James. Sometimes we have Judas, the son of James. And then there's Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. So we've got Judas, the Lord's brother. We've got Judas, the son of James, or Thaddeus, is his other name, and Judas Iscariot, three Judases. Now remember that siblings are probably feeling unworthy, and being associated with such a great person, they were truly sorry for the way that they had treated him, and probably even despised Jesus. They found it difficult to brag that they were his fleshy brothers. They felt guilt about scoffing about his ministry, and so they humbled themselves and confessed him as their master. The epistle Jude is thought to be written by Jesus' brother, Jude Judas. The introduction of Jude, you can have a look at that. The servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Brother of James. Jesus had Judas, James, Simon, and Josie. So which James do you ask? Which James was the brother of Jude? Apart from James, his brother, there are two other Jameses mentioned around Jesus, and they are Jesus' apostles as well. There's James, the son of Zebedee, known as the brother of John, and James, the son of Alphaeus. Now, the first James, James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John, he was murdered by Herod in Acts chapter 12, verse 2. Now, this is the account where Peter was also almost murdered, but he ended up being thrown into jail, and the angels let him out. That was that account. That James was killed in that incident. Acts chapter 12, verse 2. And then there was the third James, James the son of Alphaeus. Now, concerning the Lord's brother, James, there are other texts that we have that we can look at. There's ancient historians called Eusebius, and he recorded ancient writings of Clement of Alexandria. In the writings, it says that James, the brother of Jesus, was called James the Just, because of his outstanding virtue, James, the brother of the Lord, surnamed Just, James the Righteous, and James of Jerusalem. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7, there's a special mention that Jesus appeared to James, his brother, after the resurrection. And we have Kim, who's going to read that to us. So that's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7 on your notes there.
After that, he was seen by James and by all the apostles.
Thank you. And this is the James, because the other James was murdered. Okay, there's another James. It's generally accepted that this James... Did it say James, his brother?
Seen by James and by all the apostles.
Okay. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 12, verse 17. And this is just 15 verses after the murder of the Apostle James and the imprisonment of Peter, where Peter miraculously escapes and needs to tell James the whole ordeal. The emphasis on the James is important here. So we've got a reader, Kim again, Acts 12, 17, 15, 12, 15, 17. Acts 12, 17.
But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place.
Thank you. So we have Peter needing to speak to James. And in my version, it says James and the brothers. Well, which brothers? Brothers of the Lord in general or...
General.
Yeah. But that James is what I want to bring out. He had to see James because James was important in the church. What about Galatians 1 verse 19? Val, please.
I just lost it. Galatians 1, verse 19. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother.
And Peter in Jerusalem is also mentioned there. So that's Paul after the conversion. After his conversion, he saw James, the Lord's brother. None other than Peter and James, the Lord's brother. Peter and James, the Lord's brother. Then we have in Acts 15, verses 13 to 19. Oh, I don't think I've got anyone for that. Oh, Kerry. Thank you.
After they finished speaking, James replied, brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first did to the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Skipping out to verse 19. Therefore, my judgment is what we should not is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God.
Mm. So here we have the introduction there in 13 was saying it was James was speaking, and what did James say? All of these things, and at the end he declares that the Gentiles should not be forced to do the Jewish rituals in verse 19. Then Acts 21:18.
The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present.
Thank you, Val. So we've got James separated from all the other elders. He's important. This is James, the Lord's brother. When Peter left Jerusalem, James became the principal authority and was held in high regard by the Jewish Christians. James became the first bishop in Jerusalem. Josephus records that James, the brother of Jesus, was executed by the Sanhedrin in 62. And this is Josephus' account concerning the death, the execution of James the Just. And so they brought him to the temple, and they asked him to denounce Jesus. Instead, he defended Jesus and looked forward to his coming kingdom. So they threw him down off the temple mount, but he was still alive. A laundry man came along, and he had a club they used for beating the laundry and clubbed James over the head. And that's what finally killed him.
Oh, where is that? Where did you get that
information? This is from Hegesippus. He's a historian. When James fell to his death, he left the church in Jerusalem without a leader. The local believers got together to elect a new bishop, and once again they decided to keep it in the family. This is from Hegesippus. The second bishop of the church was Simeon, who was Jesus' first cousin, says Mayer. Let me explain that. Joseph, Jesus' early earthly father, had a brother named Clopas. And Clopas had a son named Simeon, and so this was Jesus' first cousin and the second bishop of the church. In Luke's Gospel, Clopas is named as one of the disciples who walked with Jesus along the road to Emmaus after the resurrection.
Yes.
Early church writers say Clopas was the brother of Joseph the carpenter, which means that he was also Jesus' uncle.
C-L-E-O-P-A-S.
C-L-O-P-A-S. Clopas.
Not C-L-O-P-A-S. It's the same.
Some of them, yeah.
It's
yeah.
So confusing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And I'm not going to say that I'm, you know, nobody really knows all the truth.
Yeah, there's no doubt
about that. Clopas' son, Simeon, became bishop of Jerusalem at a dangerous time. In AD 66, a Jewish war in Rome had just begun, and the city was under siege, just as Jesus had prophesied three decades earlier. In Luke 21:20-21, we have, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you will know that the time of its destruction has arrived. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills and those in Jerusalem escape." Simeon remembered the words of his brother-cousin, Jesus, and waited for the right moment to leave the city. In November, the Roman army oddly retreated from Jerusalem for a few weeks. A military blunder, historians would later call disastrous. But to Simeon, this so-called blunder was a miracle that they retreated. According to
Hebe Chippus,
he persuaded his congregation to flee Jerusalem, and they escaped with just the clothes on their back. Simeon led them to safety in the Gentile city called Pella in the hills of modern-day Jordan. We don't know why Pella was specifically chosen, except the fact that it crossed the Jordan River, says Mayer. It was occupied by Gentiles, and therefore it was quite the logical place of refuge if you wanted to get away from anything controlled by Jerusalem. Simeon and his congregation spent the next 4 years safely in Pella, while back in Jerusalem, the Romans murdered more than 1 million Jews and took another 97,000 as slaves. When the war was over, many of the believers returned to Jerusalem and settled on Mount Zion, near the upper room where they had first received the Holy Spirit, and where Jesus had celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples. They built the new Judo-Christian synagogue on the site where the upper room once stood. Simeon served as a bishop of Jerusalem until 99 AD. When he was arrested and tortured by the Romans, he, like Jesus, was crucified. A few decades earlier, two more of Jesus' relatives had caught the attention of the Roman Emperor Domitian, who carried out one of the greatest Christian persecutions in history. The last record we have of any of Jesus' family would, I think, be the grandsons of Jude, says Mayer. Now, Jude had a son, we don't know his name, and he had sons, and they were Jesus' nephews. The grandsons of Jude were arrested and brought before the Emperor Domitian in Rome because they were of the house of David, therefore royal dynasty. Therefore, they might be candidates to the royal, to the Jewish throne. Decades earlier, Jesus had predicted the persecution of his followers. Luke 21:12-13 says, "You will be accused before governors and kings, and this will be your opportunity to tell them about me." With this prophecy in mind, the grandnephews of Jesus went boldly to Rome. They were taken to the palace of Domitian, where the emperor questioned their beliefs. They expounded about the coming kingdom of God, and Domitian decided that these don't look like royal types, and so he, at that point, let them go and stopped persecuting the church as well. Now, the family of Jesus became known as the Despozinis.
The what?
Despozini. Despozini, okay. Which means belonging to the Lord in Greek. You can take all this.
Yeah.
These people were very big in the church after that.
That would be a good name for a church, wouldn't it?
Despozini, mm-hmm. Yeah. Several years later, these grandnephews were martyred under another Roman emperor called Trajan. For the next few decades, the members of Jesus' family continued to lead the church in Jerusalem. Nothing is known of them except their names, which are preserved in early church records. Then we've got the last known relative of Jesus was Judas Kyriakus, a Greek name meaning Judas of the Christ. He was the great-grandson of Judas, of Jesus' brother Jude, and the last Jewish bishop of Jerusalem. In AD 130, the Roman Emperor Hadrian levelled the city of Jerusalem. On its ruins, he built a new city dedicated to the Roman god Jupiter. The records of Jesus' family disappear, along with the old city of Jerusalem, and after that, you lose track, says Mayer. So why aren't we aware of Jesus' brother's ministry? And why aren't we aware that it was James that wrote the Epistle of James? Why is all this missing? You know, why do we skip over this vital information?
Well, if it's not true, that's why.
Could be that.
But there were people. There were about Thomas. The Indians are very keen, aren't they, Maxine? But Thomas?
Yeah, Thomas died, they believe he died in...
Went into India.
In India, and a buried over in...
Yeah.
Who made the cardinal on this? It's like reading something we write and then send off to India and they think, who are all these people and how are they connected?
Mm. So we have
to you, and we're scratching out 2,000 years later because we've never met these blokes.
So we have the lineage up to Jesus, and then there's nothing.
But the church what happened? Also really coloured what was going on because they wanted the links with their universal Catholic Church bishops that they could go back to Jesus' family and the early apostles.
Okay, on that thought there. The followers of the Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox traditions, as well as some of the Anglicans and Lutherans, accept the doctrine of the perpetual virginity of Mary.
Yeah.
And therefore reject any claim that Jesus had blood siblings. They class the siblings as either cousins or children of Joseph from previous marriage. Although it is thought the negative view of Jesus' family... Okay, this is another point. Okay, so we've got that we need Mary to be a virgin. No children.
Immaculate forever.
Immaculate forever. Also, now this is another thing that I thought was interesting. The negative view of Jesus' family in the Gospels may be related to the conflict between Paul the Apostle and the Jewish Christians that were led by James. We can read in Titus 3:9 and Timothy 1:1-4 that was written by Paul to do away with genealogies. A.N. Wilson suggests that the negative relationship between Jesus and his family was placed in the Gospel, especially the Gospel of Mark, to deter early Christians from the Jesus cult organised by Jesus' family. Jeffrey Butts and other scholars agree. According to Robert Spunk, the Gospel of Mark shows that Jesus' mother and brothers were at first sceptical of Jesus' ministry, but later became part of the Christian movement. James, the Lord's brother, presided over the Jerusalem church after the apostles dispersed. And other kinsmen probably were leaders among the Christians until Emperor Hadrian built on the ruins of Jerusalem and banished all the Jews in 135. This resulted in Jerusalem Christians becoming entirely Gentile. The relatives of Jesus kept their genealogy, but Herod burned all the genealogical records, thinking that he might appear of noble origin if no one else was able to qualify. Nevertheless, the Despazines, connected with Jesus' family, drew the genealogies from memory. Also, there were records safe with Eusebius, who preserved the works of Hegesippus, who was back in 110 to 180. This collection records the Despazines becoming leaders of the church. Okay, might have a little bit of a break there.
Can I just ask Debbie, that last paragraph seems to include Mary in the
what?
In the doubters.
Yes.
Do you think she was doubting Jesus?
No.
That might be another point in how hard Mark's gospel is against the brothers. You know, like this Pauline idea that you follow Paul or do you follow James, the brother of Jesus? It could be that.
Can't imagine Mary
forgetting
what happened to her.
There's no indication in the Bible that was the case.
So that could be a point, you know, to get the brothers' church away from the other, to diminish it. Okay, what about Joseph, Jesus' earthly father? We do not hear much about him at all past his childhood. It is thought that Joseph must have died early, as he's not mentioned past the 12-year-old Jesus at the event in the temple. And some even say that wasn't Joseph in that event. What was the tradition? Now, what was the tradition in the Jewish community when a husband dies? We're assuming that Joseph wasn't around that he died. What was the Jewish tradition?
The brother's wife would marry the brother's
husband's
brother.
That's right.
If he was single.
Because if there was only Jesus, remember Jesus wasn't the son of Joseph. So Joseph could have died with no siblings. This is all just out there. You know, Joseph has obviously disappeared. Well, he's not mentioned for some reason. Wasn't the widow to marry the brother? It is recorded that Joseph had a brother and his name was Clopas. Early Christian writings. Clopas appears in early Christian writings such as the 2nd century writers Papias and Hegesippus as the brother of Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus and the father of Simeon, who became the second bishop of Jerusalem. Hold on there. What have we got? Sophus in early Christian writings appears as the brother of Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was the son of Jesus, whose son was Jesus. The father of Simeon, we did read of Simon Simeon earlier, who became the second bishop of Jerusalem.
Sounds like propaganda to justify him being bishop.
A modern writer, James Tabor, identifies Mary of Clopas as Jesus' mother. Clopas, being the brother of Joseph, becomes the second husband to Mary, Jesus' mother. Tabor argues that Clopas married Mary according to the Levitical law.
But then he'd be his half-brother, not his cousin.
Mm. That's why I went dash.
Mm.
Brother,
so
he cousin.
So he died before the crucifixion, otherwise Jesus would have given Mary into the care.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He wasn't there at the crucifixion. Mary had to go into someone else's care, so maybe he died as well.
In John 19:25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene.
I know.
So
and there's a dispute there.
Mary,
That's right.
So it wasn't Mary the wife of Clopas, but it wasn't Jesus.
Yeah, apparently in the history book of Egesippus, there's two family trees, and we have Clopas and the other Mary with children with the same name as what Mary and Joseph had. They're identical in the same order. You just wonder. That's why they're putting that out there, because it could have been the same family. I've been doing my family history, and I found when I combine things, everything just fell into place. There's an additional point about Clopas that supports this interpretation. I'll just quickly do this. His name comes from the Hebrew root, which means to replace. So it was probably not his name, but a nickname. He replaced his brother Joseph, who died childless. He's mentioned elsewhere by the Greek form name Alpheus. His firstborn son was regularly known as James, the son of Alpheus. So we've heard that before. Yeah, to distinguish from the James, the son of Zebedee, the fisherman. So given the information, rather different but historical content, a clear picture begins to emerge. Jesus was born of God the Father, not the son of Joseph. Joseph died without children, so according to Jewish law, Clopas or Alpheus becomes his replacer, marries the widow Mary, the mother of Jesus. His firstborn son James, the brother who succeeds Jesus legally, becomes known as son of Joseph. After his deceased brother Joseph, in order to carry out his name, this would mean that Jesus had four half brothers and two half sisters, all born of his mother Mary, but of a different father. It is plausible to reconstruction of the event.
So that's a theory.
This is a theory, yeah. Clopas, is mentioned only twice in the entire New Testament, John 19:25, and if he and his brother Joseph were much older than Mary, it is likely that neither were alive when Jesus was an adult. This is further indicated in the Gospel of John, where Jesus, the eldest son of the family, just before his death, handed his mother over to the care of a mysterious beloved disciple that John prefers not to name in John 19:26. Whoever that is, Jesus is giving his mother into the care of another, and it indicates that she is a widow. that Mary is a widow. It's a truly tangled web of political intrigue and religious power, played with stakes destined to shape the future of the world's largest religion. What can we say with some degree of certainty is the following. Joseph was the father of Jesus. Mary's pregnancy was by God, was illegitimate by social norms. Jesus had four half-brothers, two half-sisters, all children of Mary, but of a different father. Whether it was Joseph or his brother Clopas, Jesus, by the age of 30, functions as the head of the household.
That's right. It does make it quite clear, that idea. Yeah. It's like it's, you can see, understandable.
I've never heard it before. No.
I mean, how can she stand next to what it's happened?
Yes. That's right. I know. There is that.
There, and then there's Mary, the wife
of Clopas.
Why wouldn't we just say Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister? Why would you say Mary, the wife of Clopas?
That is a bit of a problem.
It is a bit of a problem with this.
Otherwise, we'd have said Mary, also known as Mary, the wife of Clopas.
Yeah, which it could have been.
But that's not how it reads, is it?
No. Have we got the right interpretation? Anyway.
So how many women at the birth?
Three of them called Mary.
It's so confusing, all these Marys, but now we're confused by all the other.
And now we know that Mary has a sister, which we're sort of not told a lot about.
And what's her name?
Not told.
No. Some of the things, it's Mary. Yeah. Mary had a sister called Mary, and that's why they wanted to combine the two.
That's right.
Alfred Norris has a theory on all those Marys, but I'm afraid it's beyond me now.
Okay, can I just whet your appetite for something else I found intriguing and different?
Yeah.
This is an article by Lawrence Gardner. And as it was on the topic, I thought it would be interesting to share. Joseph of Arimathea. According to Lawrence Gardner, James the Just was Joseph of Arimathea.
Oh, no.
So, James the Just, Jesus' brother, could be Joseph of Arimathea. So he goes on to explain that Arimathea...
Why couldn't Joseph's brother be Joseph of Arimathea?
Yeah.
Exactly. Why did he change his name?
Yeah.
And it could be because, you know, James was the first and he was sort of honouring his father, having the first name Joseph.
Right.
After his father, after he died, maybe. Mm. And he was just called James. Who knows? But... it's all speculation. So James, the eldest of Joseph's children, was born in CE1, was also known as Joseph. And this Arimathea could be a corruption of Harathea. Harathea. H-A.
That's like it.
Rama. R-A-M-A. Thero. T-H-E. Oh. Now, Arimathea.
Aromatherapy.
Is of the highest.
I can say that one.
It's like a priestly title.
What?
A priestly title. So Joseph of Arimathea emerges as Jesus' own brother James. Consequently, it becomes no surprise that Jesus was entombed in a sepulchre that belonged to his own family. It does say a rich man, Arimathea. Yeah. But why was Jesus' family so poor? Were they poor?
They
might have been well off.
Yeah.
Neither is it a surprise that Pilate should allow Jesus' own brother to take charge of the post-crucifixion proceedings, and that the women of Jesus' family should accept the arrangements made by James without question.
Well, women had no right to question, but that's not a problem. But it isn't a problem.
James the Just and Joseph of Arimathea controversy gets even stranger when you consider each of their job descriptions. James, or Jim, as his friends like to call him, but never to his face, had later been described as the first bishop of Jerusalem. He's believed to have been the author of the Epistle of James in the New Testament, despite rumours of ghost writers. He was believed to have been the high priest in Jerusalem, and this would make sense if we consider the ancestors were Zadok, patriarch, and his wife Anna, James's wife Anna, descended directly from the line of high priests, the Maccabees. Also curious is the fact that while Catholics assume James the Just as the first bishop of Jerusalem, they made Peter, who fled from Jerusalem, the first pope of the church. Yet Peter had entrusted James with the care of the local faithful. I've got one more doozy before I sit down. Okay.
So that was about why the question is, why did the Catholic Church grant Peter the Pope when James was the leader of the church?
Because of what Jesus said on this rock, my church.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So they decided that was the thing. But it is weird, isn't it, when you think about it? That James was the leader,
But it's in their records that James was the first bishop. They call him a bishop instead of leader, bishop, which is biblical anyway.
So where did Pope come from?
A whole new
is something they made up new, a pope.
Well, the Roman emperors had that title to begin with. They were the
religious
head, right. And part of their title had that pope.
And that happened 300 years after Jesus' death. And they could have reorganised everything by then, forgotten all about change, just slotted and meter in.
The first Roman emperor, what was his name? Caesar. He had the white robe and that pope title was his
business. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
The first Roman emperor.
Caesar.
The religious head, and that's where the Pope's words came from. So when the Rome transferred over to, accept Christianity, then all that passed from the emperor to the
Interesting, because if he was the religious head, he was to have another religion, not a Christian religion.
Exactly.
But they're bringing a pagan title, really, aren't they?
Yeah, but it just means a religious leader or something.
But it's all mixed up, Val.
Yes.
Paganism and Christianity.
Oh, yes.
And the Romans started all that.
Okay, we'll just go back to this. I'm going to explore now for the next 10 minutes. Who was the mysterious disciple whom Jesus loved?
John.
Who was was the unnamed intimate that lay close to the breast of Jesus at the upper Last Supper, the one who he passes on the care of his mother Mary just before his death, and the eyewitness source that lies behind the traditions now embedded in the Gospel of John. Who is this?
Well, if you ask Brother John Wright, you'll have no doubt whatsoever who it was.
There's lots of ideas. In the book, there's been a book written, The Jesus Dynasty by Simon and Schulter in 2006. They offer reasons for the mysterious theory in the Gospel of John, described as the disciple whom Jesus loved, or more commonly, the beloved disciple, as none other than James, the brother of Jesus. Today there are several dozen books suggesting various alternative identifications. Ben Withington and others have suggested Lazarus. In the Gospel, the sisters send the word to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." John 11:3. Then there's Mary Magdalene has also become a suggested candidate. Most recently, it has been suggested that the unnamed was a son of Jesus. Some scholars have viewed the beloved disciple as literally a construction representing the ideal disciple with no specific identity. The apostle Thomas has also been considered. Based on text, Schulter made the following points. Point one, since Mary Magdalene arrives at the tomb and runs to tell Peter and this other disciple, whom Jesus loved, the news of the empty tomb, it can't be Mary Magdalene. I think he twists a lot here.
Have you read Robin's book?
Yeah, I have. And that's why I say he twists a lot. Because it doesn't actually say the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's the disciple. Point two, anyone mentioned by name in the Gospel of John in the latter chapters 13 to 21 is likely not to be the beloved, for the identity is being veiled. This means we can eliminate those mentioned. That's Philip, Andrew, Judas, Iscariot, and Lazarus. Point three, if we accept the reference in John 18:15 referring to the beloved disciple, they seem to have priestly connections. He's able to get Peter into the courtyard. It doesn't actually say beloved, it just says the disciple. Courtyard of the high priest's house, and he knew the woman at the door. I thought that was interesting, that this person actually knew the woman at the door and could get into the high priest's garden. James, the brother of Jesus, also known as for his priestly orientations through his mother's divinic genealogy in Luke. Historian Hegesippus tells us that James wore the white linen of the priest and the mitre of some type, and was allowed to enter the inner sanctuary of the temple, perhaps as a representative of the Nazarenes. Point four, the beloved disciple of Jesus' mother Mary, takes Jesus' mother Mary into his care when Jesus dies. The next brother is officially designated the son to do this, meaning that he was now to carry on the caretaker function. Point five, the beloved disciple is present at the Last Supper. The description of the disciple laying close to Jesus' breast at the Last Supper indicates an honest place of proximity and intimacy. Jesus loved all his disciples, but this particular one had a special place. So if we eliminate those mentioned by name, Lazarus, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, Philip, Andrew, two sons of Zebedee, Judas Iscariot, who's left? It's the other James, the other Jude, the other Simon, and Matthew. Jesus has four brothers: James, Simon, Jude, and Joseph. There might be some evidence that Matthew is another brother, or possibly even Joseph. This silence seems deliberate. Given these factors, it seems that James is the brother of Jesus, surfaced as the best candidate for the one that Jesus loved. He is the one who takes over. Now, this is a good point. He is the one who takes over the leadership. James is the clear head of the Jerusalem community in Acts 15. To have some other individual, such as Lazarus or a fisherman John, now functioning as a caretaker of the family just doesn't seem to make any sense. When, at all times, James is present and functioning as a leader of the community. Point. That's an interesting point. And as to the intimacy between the brothers, no matter if they've got arguments or anything, you can see them grow up together. You know, Jesus was James's older brother. They were close together. They would have grown up together. That's an intimate relationship. And maybe towards the end there, James was at the Last Supper and just supporting his brother. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
The traditional view is that it was John, isn't it? So we're now allowed to question these things. We were never allowed to question these things before, were we?
Yes, we always were.
That's the big thing about being a Christadelphian.
I think the church itself, I think that all scholarship regarded it as John,
but I don't think it's one. It sort of smacks of favouritism, which you don't want to give to Jesus, do you? If he had a favourite.
Oh, well, he must have had different relations, but he took those three all on the Transfiguration and all that. That obviously he had some special thing with those three.
Peter, James and John.
I think he could always see that John had so much compassion and it was such a caring person that that's the person that he wanted his mother.
That John is called Sons of Thunder.
No, isn't that the other John?
No, is that John?
Or is that and John?
His disciples complained twice about that John for what he found quite sit on his left.
Yeah, that's right.
That John was actually put down sharply by Jesus for wanting to be elevated. So he doesn't really fit the profile of the beloved disciple.
There weren't any men at the foot of the cross for the simple reason that they would have been arrested and crucified. That's why Peter was so terrified and did not cry.
And all the disciples left the scene.
I like the idea of it being his brother, his closest sibling, because you would expect that to be a more elevated relationship. Why do we pick on John?
Isn't it because it's in the Gospel of John? Those particular words are written in the Gospel of John.
Four accounts are in John.
Yeah. Not in any of the other.
No.
But when we call John, because Irenaeus attributed it to John.
Okay.
And Irenaeus wanted everything connected to the early apostles, so the church went back.
Yeah, right.
Exactly, and left the woman out.
So this is another lineage from the early Catholic Church attributing everything to be connected to Peter and Roman Catholic.
He seemed to make his own effect and he was Lazarus killed. Well, he stopped. He didn't stop with his sisters.
Made other brothers.
He married Lazarus and made his home.
James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, appeared to him at the
born.
So he appeared to James almost as if he wanted to show his brother. Yes,
that's right. Yeah. There is that connection. Very
interesting. Well, maybe it's because of an emphasis that's being forgiven for having doubted. Because his family, you know, thought that he was bringing himself into disrepute by being so extreme, that he'd become an embarrassment. And so I think emphasizing James shows that in Christ's life there was no disconnection because
And it could just be that he's separating James out being his brother, and then he sees the apostles, whether he's saying he saw him first because he wasn't important, or whether he's just saying he wasn't one of the apostles. And so he sees James as the apostle. So, I don't know.
So the revelation was given to James. That's true. His revelation is given to John. You know, his life message.
But that could have been because John was alive.
Yes. And that's what John went back to Ephesus and lived with Mary.
No, I mean, that's another one of those stories and constructs that Robin has made us aware of.
So what you need to do is read James and Jude, because they were the brothers, and see what they have to
say. And we're doing that at Bible class at the moment. I'm having James. Yeah. And the first Bible class was quite interesting because it talked about James being Jesus' brother. And it's been good.
I never actually saw that, you know. There's a lot of tradition that James is the Lord's brother.
But then also they're saying that this was the earliest account of some of these things that they were saying to them.
It was the earliest thing
written. And so they had to take word of mouth before that, didn't they? And so this was one of the first things before the Gospels had been written.
Well, that makes sense that he was the head of the church.
Which is quite interesting, the fact that this is the first written thing that people are getting.
But I don't think the Indians can prove that Thomas went across and lived in southwestern India. There's a big section of people there who are called Thomasites, but they can't prove that. But there's
two big boats, two ways of boats that came into India to the Malabar coast, and in the synagogues there, we had a lot of Jews, huge Jewish population that was there, and a lot of Christians that came through. 70 is talked about the first wave, and then there was another wave that came in. Can't remember the history of it, because this is about 20 years ago when I was used to be in Kerala a lot, sort of there. But when you're not there, you forget about a lot. But in the synagogues, there's a lot of reference to Israel.
I think they went there during the time of Ezra.
There could have been. And Vasco da Gama, when he arrived there, he had huge problems with the church because they didn't know about the Trinity. It was a really big thing, you know, they took Vasco's body back eventually, but that was the big thing. How come they didn't know about, you know, the Trinity?
Well, that's all about the Eastern Church and the Western Church. We follow more the Greek. Than the Eastern Church, and the Catholic people went all over in Western Europe. They did the Pope and everything, and the other people. So we sort of descend from the Eastern side, the Greek Orthodox and all that.
Mm-hmm.
you.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
It's one day, it's nothing, it's nothing, it's nothing, it's nothing.